Welcome to Fear the Boot. You guys know the drill. This is your first time tuning into Fear the Boot. We don't edit these. We don't talk about our normal subjects. So go check out a different episode first.
Never listen to this or any other bonus episode.
You do not want to listen to a bonus episode. So, just turn it off now.
You know,
run away.
I've got two bits of business before we get into our bonus
episode. Dude, are you having announcements?
No.
Oh, jeez.
These are not announcements.
God damn.
These are, one of these is a point of virtue. So I wake up the other morning.
You say morning, but we both know afternoon.
Okay. By morning, it might have been like 11:30 a.m. So technically, it was morning. And I come
find
my Baron Von Badass Stein, and Carla is drinking coffee from it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's party foul.
And I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
That's a raping.
And she's like, well,
that's a raping.
She's like, well, the Baron likes coffee.
No, the Baron does not like coffee.
The Baron likes corpse ale.
Corpse.
The Baron drinks blood.
He does not. It. So I'm cleansing this cup right now with O'Fallon Gold because I can't believe what she has done to emasculate the poor Baron. The one thing is hordes could not defend him from. The second thing is all these people lately that have been writing in thinking we're like fighting on air.
We are. We hate
it. I don't know what the hell is going on with that.
Yeah, it's like, have you guys not listened to the past 100 episodes?
You guys could never possibly hang out with us because we are so brutally vicious.
We've toned it down for the podcast.
I'm just going to help you guys out right now. We are not like two swooning lovers from a Jane Austen novel. When we hang out...
We're like four.
And all together at once.
When we hang out, we make fun of each other. We cut each other off. This is just the way we...
I love sweaty man sweat. Whatever the hell he said.
We are not fighting. We're not bickering. That's just the way we are as friends.
This bickering is pointless.
Like Luke said, when we turn off the mics, we are far worse than when the mics are on. So if you think...
If you think that's bad, you should see me with my wife.
It yeah. is. That is a sight to see.
You should see me with his wife.
I've seen it. It's impressive.
So if you think we are genuinely fighting or bickering, I'll just help you out and tell you we're not. That's just the way we interact. So let's get down to the meat of this bonus episode.
Meaty.
Fear the Boot Bedtime Stories 2. Who wants to go first?
Luke.
How come I always go first?
Because we overheard what your wife told you to tell us in the car, and it's funny.
And actually, we kind of want to hang out with your wife more than you.
You guys suck so bad. All Dan ever tells me to do is shut up. On the air, he'll talk to me, but off the air, it's like, shut up, Luke.
Luke, shut up.
Yeah. Shut up.
Tell a story.
All right, so I guess I'll lead with one of my more embarrassing stories, but also one of my most fun stories. This dates back to my senior year of college.
No, put that away.
What do you got?
There was a listener request.
Oh, God.
No, there was no listener request.
What did I tell you? Put it away.
There was a listener request.
I'm in the
request,
middle of a story.
And I'm not interrupting you. You guys are talking.
John, take his book away.
There was a listener request
to
know the history
of
On the Other
podcast,
Hand.
If this was a text-based podcast, we would have John glances at the Book of Clichés printed right
Dan.
On the screen.
Fine. Dan. All right. Here, start another podcast.
Go ahead.
Be like Tony Mass. Start another podcast called Cliché of the Day.
Nah.
Look. Okay.
All right, Luke. Come on.
All right.
Break it down.
We're back in college. Senior year.
Hey, I'm in college.
Senior. I'm living in an apartment with a guy I know, which is across from an apartment with a bunch of our friends. And it's kind of the meat apartment. Everybody always goes there to hang out. We play a lot of Super Smash Brothers. We drink a lot of beer. We eat a lot of pizza.
Oh, M-E-E-T
yeah.
apartment.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
I'm like, oh my.
Oh my.
I should have gone to optometry school.
No, this was pre-optometry school.
No, it was Truman.
This was undergrad. This is up at Truman, baby. So we also had the other half of our friends lived in a house that was green, and it was aptly named the Greenhouse, which had been a party house for years and used to be a meth lab like every other house in Kirksville. In the basement, nobody went in the basement. It was a dungeon down there, and everything was
Missouri,
burned out
meth
crazy.
Capital of the world.
Jefferson County.
There was an entire bedroom down there of just junk from who knows how long ago, but nobody ever went down there because it was all methed out and had brown recluses. Parties at the Greenhouse
brown
happened.
Brown recluses can't pass meth.
Parties at the Greenhouse happened quite a bit, at least once a month or so. And being as we were all good friends, we'd all go there early, help bring the keg in, you know, play a bunch of card and dice games until the party got really started. So we usually got drinking about 2 or 3 hours before everybody got there. Throw a big party. We stumble back home later that night. It was typical college. And I particularly remember one such party where instead of Natty Light, somebody actually sprang for Killian's. Like, it's like, oh.
Killian sucks.
Well, it's better than Natty Light. It's
That's
like,
true.
We're going to have some right. quality stuff
There's not
tonight.
Much that is.
Yeah, I could urinate in your mouth and it'd be fun.
So, drink. Everything's going great. It's a good time. I'm dancing the night away. I go down to the basement, hang out with the brown recluses, go upstairs to where they're doing the stuff that's illegal. You know, I'm everywhere. I'm everybody's friend. It's a good time. So, I go home, go to bed, wake up next morning, you know, a little by right about 11 or noon, a little hungover, wander next door to the other apartment because that's also kind of the recovery room for the hangovers. And everybody's in there watching football. I was like, hey, what's up? And we start talking and we start realizing all of us had really, really vivid dreams that night. Like John's like, I had these nightmares, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I did.
And Evan was talking about all this crazy stuff he saw. And I'm like, yeah, come to think of it, I had this really, really, really crazy dream. It seems so real. I dreamt that I was in bed.
We have to go to Boulder.
I dreamt I was in bed and I really had to pee. And instead of just going to the bathroom, which was right outside my door, I just get up and piss in the corner all over my jeans and a bunch and over there. And then I just go back to bed. And then I sit there thinking, we're telling more stories. And I realize, hang on, that might not have been a dream. So walk back. Sure enough, in the corner is a soaking wet pair of jeans. Fortunately, the washing machine was right between our apartments, so I did that pretty quickly. But that was my best peeing story ever, is that I woke up and peed on my own clothes and didn't know it.
I peed on my own pants my second day of Chaminade, the place I was going to be going to school for the next 6 years. We had all just gotten there, and I was like, oh my God.
So you were Johnny P instead of Johnny G?
Already the piss guy. Right off the bat, but fortunately, I was wearing dark pants that day. I thought I had untucked myself from my pants in front of the urinal, but
apparently not.
But I unplugged the vent, and sure enough, down it went.
Dude, here's a strategy. You ever piss on yourself, accidentally or on purpose, whatever happened? Just splash a whole bunch of water on your jeans.
Dude.
Cover it up, make it look like you had a water
gym
accident.
Gym was the next period. I went swimming.
Oh, you were set.
And then
cool.
I didn't dry at all, and I got all my clothes were wet.
There you
like,
go.
Hey, guys.
You got to camouflage it with excessive water.
Yep.
I went to a baseball game this last summer. Man, I got ripped drunk. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I finally convinced Melina to drive so I wouldn't have to. And, I almost blacked out while we were there. We're stumbling to the car to get out there. And I've just made an ass of myself at the company baseball game.
I was ripped drunk the game before the game you went to.
Yeah. And so,
with my mud.
Past the electrical station that says, please do not get wet. Ah, oh, screw that. I'm pissing on this thing. Whipped out in the middle of the thing. I'm like, dude, check me out. Someone take a picture. It was awesome. I heard about this the next day. I didn't actually remember it.
All right, this is not the bedroom story, bedtime story that I brought.
The bedroom story.
Actually, strange the way it is. All right, this is going to start out sounding like a really, really horrible story, but just bear with me because it has a funny ending. I know a girl that some dude at a party slipped a date rape drug to and was going to...
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
No. Just realize that this story has a funny ending.
Oh, you think I'm kidding?
Oh yeah, it starts out so good.
Yeah.
There's a great justice at the end. But the dude himself apparently had so much to drink that night that he passed out before he could do anything to her. But she was still at his place in this total stupor from whatever it was that he had slipped her. And so in the middle of the night, she went up to go to the bathroom and thought she went to the bathroom. And actually what she had done was just basically sat down on one of the drawers of his desk and just filled it with piss. So this son of a bitch got at least a little bit of what he deserved.
A friend of mine got really drunk. She was going to school in Boston and apparently came in wasted while her roommate was another friend of our group who was on the phone with somebody. And like, oh, hey, Kristen's back and she's totally drunk. And Kristen apparently walks over to the printer and opens up the top like it's a toilet seat and just starts going because she thinks the printer's a toilet. That's like, awesome. Yeah, Kristen's pissing in the printer. She's not going to be happy
Man,
tomorrow morning.
That's awesome. The best I got was people plastering Jeff Goldblum is watching you poop on the inside of the stalls. That's not even close.
How does this turn into the water sports episode?
I don't know.
All
right.
I got a good one.
I got one that's not has nothing to do with pee. You want to go first, Adam, or do you want me to go first?
I'm just going to go shake that bear. So you go.
All right.
Go ahead. I'll go after you.
That's all life right. juice.
Back, we were sitting there at dinner talking about detentions and suspensions and things like that back in high school. And back in high school, I was a total goody two shoes. I mean, I did absolutely nothing wrong. I got out of high school. I never had a detention, never had a suspension.
Always
had.
I've been both.
did not have straight A's, but I always had very good grades. You know, all the teachers liked me, blah, blah, blah. Except on this one particular occasion, I was taking an industrial computing class, which was supposed to be, now this would have been back in like 1993. And this was supposed to be about how computers were being used more and more within industry. All right. And even the material they were showing us was dated then. They were showing those big was 8-inch or 10-inch floppy disks. I mean, this was dated even back.
8-inch floppy disk?
Yeah.
525 was the biggest they got.
No, there was one that predated the 5 1/4 that was even bigger. It's like 8 or 10 inches. Dude, is huge.
Was it the black disk?
That's like a data tape. Oh, I get it.
Oh, edit that out. Edit that out.
No,
please. No, we can't.
No editing for bonuses.
We don't edit bonus episodes.
No.
You racist pig.
There was one. There was
sorry.
So as I'm in this class, the funny thing is the teacher was a shop teacher who knew a pretty good amount about shop type stuff, but didn't know squat about computers. Okay, whereas I had grown up with computers. At the time, I knew how to program a little bit of BASIC, not QBASIC or ABASIC or Visual BASIC. I'm talking BASIC. And they had this milling machine that they couldn't quite get to work. And the way it was supposed to work was it was hooked up to an Apple IIc or IIe or something like that. And you wrote this program where you could type in your name, and then you put a little plastic plate on a metal plate, and then the drill would come down and drill your name, and you'd get a nice little nameplate out of it. But the program for it didn't work. So the teacher asked, could I take a look at this and fix it? So sure enough, I look it over, find a few obvious errors, and I fix it, but didn't. This was in the days before I knew how to test things properly. You don't just dive in with both feet and run a program. So we decided to go ahead and test it. And of course, being in high school, only one word came into mind to type in. So we type in the F word. And we had these.
What's that?
We had the.
It's terribly inappropriate.
We had the Z axis on the drill off. So it went straight down this like super. Like diamond tip industrial drill goes straight down through the plastic plate and engraves into the machine itself the F word. Gets to the end of engraving the F word, and right at the end of K, that like $5,000 drill bit snaps in half and shoots across the room. So I'm left here. I'm sitting there with a guy named Jim, and we're just sitting there looking. So like, what have we just done? So the funny thing is the teacher then comes back in and is like, who did this? Of course, the F word is now carved into this milling machine. And I tell him, I did this. I take responsibility for it. Yet he kept blaming this girl in the class for it. I don't know if in his mind he thought that she showed me her boobs, so I was covering for her, or what his logic was. But he would not believe me when I told him that I had done it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do I have to go with the second one? Or?
No, I'll go with Shake That Bear.
All right.
Go ahead, John.
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Do you want to tell the story of Shake That Bear?
Sure, I'll tell the story.
Well, hold on.
I got a better story. It's called Two Girls, One Cup.
No, that's not a good story.
Oh,
no, that's a terrible story.
No, Shake That Bear is funny. Two Girls, One Cup is disgusting.
No.
Did you watch it?
No.
Oh, of course I didn't.
I got to the event horizon of Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah, by the way.
I got to the point where you know exactly what's going to happen.
If you are anywhere but home, alone, with a shotgun to your head, do not Google Two Girls, One Cup.
You don't have to Google it. It's just the URL.
Don't do anything.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's worse than Goatsy.
It's worse than Goatsy.
Oh, absolutely.
This is like one of the most. We're not even going to describe it. It's so disgusting. Don't look this up.
I haven't seen it, but I've watched the parody, and I could tell from the parody
of
John Mayer. Dude, I'm like, okay, if they're making fun of it this way, this has to be as bad. This has to be really terrible.
Did you see the one with the pumpkin?
No.
Oh, my God, it's great.
All right.
So Shake That Bear.
Shake That Bear. This one, don't look up at work, but...
It's funny, nonetheless.
It's funny, but this is completely not safe for work.
If that gets you queasy, don't watch it.
In fact, it's actually X-rated. So.
Hey, yeah. Can I tell the story?
Yeah.
All right. So I work with a couple of guys, and my office is like a frat house. Only it's a tech office, so most of the guys are computer geeks. Well, there's this one guy who I don't want to relate with him because his sense of humor is weird and gross, but I do. And everything that he finds funny and pitches to me, I find hilarious. But I have to keep this stoic, I'm above that, but then I go home and look at it anyway. So one day he pitches to me, hey man, you been to ShakeThatBear.com? And I'm like, oh, what the hell is this? And he's like, oh, it's awesome. So scope this out. This girl is in the woods hunting, and there's this bear up in a tree. and she's got a rifle. She pulls her rifle out and she shoots this bear. She shoots it a couple times and it falls out of the tree. You can hear it like moaning in pain and it falls to the ground.
This is real footage. This is not staged.
Yeah, so it falls to the ground dead. And then they're kind of circling around it. And then next scene, some dude's doing her from behind on top of the bear. Grunting, shake that bear. Shake that bear. And so the dialogue between this guy and this girl draped over this dead bear is brilliant. Oh, we can't be too loud. The hound guys are right over there.
They know what's up.
That dialogue is second only to "but I poop from there" as far as porn dialogue is concerned.
So after they're finished, the disturbing factor just goes up another notch, because as soon as they're done on the bear, a pack of dogs starts pulling the bear carcass away, and you're like, what the hell is going on? Oh, shake that bear.
Shake that bear. Yeah, I walked in on that last night before we recorded. Oh, we weren't recording. We were playtesting. Never mind.
Yeah, we were playtesting Skies of Glass.
That's what
I told him. I wasn't going to watch it, but you know what? Here we are. Telling Shake That Bear.
Advertising it, no less, up on the Intertron.
That's because we're getting paid for the advertising.
The tubes.
Well, I guess I'm up again. I can talk about my greatest prank of all time, the best prank I've ever pulled.
Let's hear it, Luke.
This is also back in college, my junior year. I was an RA, a residential advisor, in one of the halls there. So every week, we had to go down and write up, basically file reports, do, you know, various paperwork. And the office for the hall was actually just a regular suite. So one side of the suite had all the desks and whatnot. You go to the bathroom and the other side of the suite. And over there, they had it for us residential advisors, basically just a workstation where we could study or do whatever. It was a quiet place. So I'm down there one Sunday afternoon. It's getting to be close to dark. And I'm studying for some test because my roommate's being nuts, what have you. So I'm down in that the side room studying away, and I hear the one of the front desk managers come in because they have a key to work with the money, what have you, in the office. So she comes in, and she has a friend with her, and this is right around Halloween. Centennial Hall is one of the most reportedly haunted places on campus. I was big into ghost stories back then. I love tales of the supernatural and the history behind them. So I was kind of into that that whole gig, looking up the various ghost histories of the various halls. And I knew, and everybody knew, that Centennial Hall was supposed to be extremely haunted. So I hear her over on the other side, and I decide to play a prank because she didn't even see me. She didn't realize I was there. So she wanders out through the door and locks it, and which, you know, these are old rooms, so you can hear it lock very loudly. So I walk over there and unlock it. And then I walk back to my side of the room. And you can hear them out in the hallway just stop, like, did you hear that? They wander back, open it up, and sure enough, it's unlocked. And Amy's like, you did hear me lock that, right? To one of her friends. She's like, yeah, I heard you.
So you're unlocking this with your RA key?
Yeah, well, no, I was on the inside, so I just unlocked it with the switch.
Okay.
She was locking it with her RA front desk key.
All right.
So, because I don't think she realized the room's connected, like anybody could even be there. So, sure enough, she locks it again, and you can hear him waiting out there. I walk over. I unlock it, walk back over again, and they're like, okay, that really happened that time. And then they open the door up like, I know I locked it. I know I did for sure. This is getting crazy. And so then they leave it unlocked, actually, and they walk away for a while. So I just go back to studying. I hear them come back up, and I hear them lock it again. So this time I hear them out there like, okay, we're going to watch for a second. We'll see what happens. So I let them lock it, and I'm waiting on the other side of the door. And I know they're right there just watching, and you hear him go, you know, you hear him kind of sigh in relief. And right about then, I grab the doorknob and just gently start moving it back and forth. And then you hear him go, what? And then I start shaking it. And shaking the door, the whole thing is making just a ton of noise. And you hear them both scream and go running down the hallway. And I pop out and go, gotcha. And they're like, Luke! It was my best prank ever, I think. I got him good with that.
Man, you didn't get laid for a week.
I didn't know him.
That's I was okay. Working at a home building company. And we had some people in one of the departments that weren't the brightest bulbs on the tree, shall we say. Just to give you one example, we were sitting there in a meeting at one time, and we had just written a program, and we were showing it to them and saying, what would you guys like changed on this? And they started giving us some ideas. So I pulled up a session, a notepad, and just start typing it out. It's like, you know, number one, do change this. Number two, change that. Number three, change this. And like, you can just type it in there and it'll do that. I mean, all right, so this is the caliber of people we're dealing with. Or to give you another example, a guy I still work with named Christian, went in once and one of their computers was locked up and she couldn't figure out why. And it's basically she just had too many sessions of programs open. It just locked up the memory. And so he kind of messes with it for a minute and then just reboots it. But he like looks around the room carefully and looks at her calculator, like, do you normally keep it that close to the computer? And she's like, yeah. So he picks it up and moves it across the room. He's like, well, there's your problem right there. So these are the caliber of people that we're dealing with. But one of them sends out to the entire company one of these retarded forward emails that says, oh, this is an email from Microsoft because Bill Gates is trying to track email. And if you get this sent through like 1,000 people and then it goes back to Microsoft, they'll give everyone like $1,000 or something.
Man, that sure
like.
Is a Dan four words.
And so they sent this out, of course, much to the annoyance of the entire computer department. And so Christian sits down, pulls up a program. Of course, being programmers, we know how to spoof email and such, and writes her back an email from
Bill Gates.
From Bill.Gates at Microsoft.com. It is like, I am sick to bleep of you trying to hand out my money. If you send out one more of these emails like this, I'm going to personally chase you down and kick your ass and just tear it into her as if he was Bill Gates.
That's hilarious.
And her totally freaked out.
Oh, there was a hoax just a few weeks ago. Somebody started the rumor that if you you can have a motto on Xbox Live that anybody can see. Uh-huh. It said, if you put in your motto, free Xbox Live, Microsoft is going to look to see how many people do it. And enough people do, they're going to make it free instead of $50 a year. And
who believes that crap?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. All these people are like, dude, you got to change it. And I'm like, look, does that make any sense to any of you at all? Think about it. Think.
Yeah, Bill Gates did not get wealthy by giving things away.
We did that in our office. One of the employees is a huge Doug Waite fan, and all he talks is about Doug Waite. Doug Waite this, Doug Waite that. So we spoofed his email from like Doug Waite at theblues.com or whatever, and it was just a love letter to this guy. Hey, I think we can get together after the game. Do you want me to shower beforehand, or... do you like the sweat on my body? I'm listening in the moonlight. That's hilarious.
We did that to a lady, too, except it was a little different. She was a huge Rod Stewart fan. And the background...
Did she go to the concerts and throw her panties at him?
I hope not. I don't even want to think about that. But
that's standard.
She had as the background on her computer this tiled picture of Rod Stewart.
Oh, tiles.
And so one of the guys I work with got a GIF animator and went in there and set it so that like once every 5 minutes, the picture would wink at her. Like, I mean, it took a really long time. So we'd be sitting there like, you know, even in her cubicle and she's like, there, he just winked at me. And we'd all sit there and look at it real intently like, it's just a background. It can't possibly be winking at you. We have no, what are you talking about? And of course, you know, then 5 minutes later, she's like, there, I did it again. And we're like, I'll sit there and watch it real quietly for a minute. We're like, it's not doing anything. Are you feeling
that's
okay?
<hilarious. laughs>
That's good. That's good.
So I mentioned earlier that Melina and I bicker quite a bit in public. And the reason we bicker so much in public, I think, is because I'm absolutely merciless to her. So I was working at a local
that's not really a chain of reasoning. That's just restating what
no,
you said.
No, it's pretty much just they're both facts. There's really no relation. I used to work at this grocery store, this local grocery store, and I worked there forever while I was, you know, going to school and before I had a real job.
Yeah, I worked with you there twice.
Yeah, it sucked. But I was there for 6 years, so they gave me a 5-year anniversary
pin. Oh, yes. I remember when he did this.
So they gave me the 5-year anniversary pin, and because it's a grocery store, they make a big deal out of the most meaningless things. So they come up and they give you a whole bag of Hershey's Kisses, and they give you this pin. Well, it comes in a small box that opens with like felt on the inside. And if you don't know what it is, it looks like a ring box. So they give me the balloons and all this stuff. And I don't tell Melina about it. So that night I go home. I make dinner. It's a nice dinner. There's candles everywhere. And when she comes home, I've got the lights all dim. And I have this nice romantic setting, a little mood music. And then we're having dinner, chatting. Rewind, and I just put it on the table. And she's not really girly, but the shiny things, she gets wet for the shiny things. So I put it on the table, and she gets that, that gleam in her eye and that smile on her face. And, oh, man, I know what's coming. It's going to be great. So she, I kind of slide over, and I'm like, baby, I got this for you. And then it's the quivering anticipation as the lid opens, the disappointment, then the Greek anger.
Oh, I remember back when that whole snakes on a plane thing was going around.
Yeah, this was also funny.
There was a...
The phone call thing.
Yeah, you could go to the website, and they had...
That was awesome.
They had fragmented conversations. For those of you who didn't know about this, if you went to the snakes on a plane website, they recorded Samuel L. Jackson basically doing a conversation with a person, but you could personalize it. You could say, like, you could pick your name from a drop-down list.
What the hell is going on dogs over there?
No, it's she. One dog wants to play in there, one doesn't. But you
bonus
could pick,
episode, it's in.
You could put your name from a drop down list, their name from a drop down list, what they do for a living, something that describes their car, the relationship you have with them. You could pick all this different stuff, and then they would splice together different phrases from Samuel Jackson, and you could type in a phone number, and it would call the person, and like it would call them up, and if it called me, it'd be like, is this Dan? And of course, you know, I'd say hello. Yeah, like, yeah, this is. And be like, this is Samuel L. Jackson. And you need to take your wife, Carla, and get in that crappy tin can you drive. It's get away from your programming job and come down and see snakes on a plane. It'd be all personalized to that person. And it really is Samuel L. Jackson. So I'm like, we're going to have some fun with this. So I put together one for Adam.
This is right.
From a girl named Melissa.
That was brilliant.
Which happened to be an ex-girlfriend of his, or some girl he liked, or something like that.
That made Melina mad.
It doesn't matter if she even exists. Melina's already pissed.
Melina was so ridiculously jealous of. And
it was so funny.
I just sent this phone call to him, where it's like, Adam, this is Samuel Jackson. You need to take that girlfriend Melissa of yours and get in your car and go down. She snakes on a plane. And of course, I'm just cracking up to myself, thinking that Adam's just going to, you know, get a kick out of this. But Adam takes it one step further. He goes on a witch hunt. He's like, I just got a phone call sent to me by Melissa wanting to go see snakes on a plane with me. And so now Melina just completely flips out. She's like, what's that bitch doing? And this just goes completely nuts. And I let that go for days before I was finally like, yeah, I sent that.
It's a good thing that she doesn't listen to the podcast.
One of my favorite things to do is, of course, outsmart people. Nothing makes me feel more manly than that. And occasionally you can, it's easy to do when you get somebody who thinks they understand something, but it turns out to be a prank and you can catch them mid-act. I guess another college story. When my girlfriend at the time had just gone away to a camp for the weekend, some retreat of some sort, and came back, and we were eating lunch with a bunch of our friends, and she'd gotten some ice cream. And she's like, Luke, look. I learned this crazy thing at camp. Do you know, if you pour a bunch of salt on the ice cream, it gets really hot and it melts. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, and I look over to my friend because we're both science majors. And I'm like, no, that shouldn't happen. That's the exact opposite. It should get colder. And she's like, no, it melts. Here, look, just put your hand over it and you can feel the heat coming off, which I'm like, okay. So she's going to slap my hand into it. So I'm like, no, look here. So I grab the salt. I pour it on there. I'm like, look, and there's a lot of salt. Feel it now. It should be a lot colder. So she puts her hand there. I slapped her head down into it. It's like, how'd you fall for your own joke? Come on. You lose. I win. We're breaking up. If I can outsmart you that easily, you're not getting me.
Oh, no, that's a prime candidate, dude.
Yes. You weren't doing it right, Luke.
I was doing it all.
If they can fight back, you lost.
Oh, the another good story from back then is I was one of the proprietors of what we called Operation Sleeping Tiger. I was on the council of the Newman Center there. I was a very active participant for several years. And the Newman Center is one of it's the Catholic group on most campuses. Good group of people there, and we had, of course, our the Newman Center was actually kind of in frat row, so all the frat houses are right down the street from us.
Oh, why would they put it there?
Just where it was. We had a good relationship with most of them. I mean, it's fine. But people would wander by, of course, drunk and see the mass times and wander up there to sign and take the M off of mass. Happened like every week. So accounts were like, okay, we're losing too many M's. We've got to find a way to stop this. So what I proposed, like, look, here's what we do. We just dig a pit and put a tiger down there. And then when they take it, they'll fall down. Tiger will be great. It'll be Operation Sleeping Tiger. Done. And then they said, no, we can't get tired, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, what if we have somebody dressed up like Jesus? And then when they just wait for them to come steal the sign and then walk out like, why are you doing this to me? And that'd be Operation Sleeping Jesus. But that didn't go over well either. So
that's the perfect solution.
I say, even as someone who I completely support this plan.
I was like, that's great, right? And they're like, no, that's kind of blasphemous. I'm like, Jesus would do it. What would Jesus do? He'd catch the people stealing the sign in any way possible. So what we eventually decide on is to put up, we're just going to do a stakeout. And I have the bright idea of like, okay, we need to put up something irresistible. We need to put a sign up there that can't resist taking the M off of it. So we don't have to wait around here all night for this to happen. We need to catch somebody's stat. So we're sitting there thinking, and my buddy and I come up with, okay, I got it. We'll put the sign up. So we go out there, spell it out, something completely irresistible. The Newman Center, come see the best mass on campus. It took 20 minutes. 20 minutes into the stakeout, somebody's like, check this out, dude. Comes up there, and then 40 people come sprinting out after him, and he runs and throws the letter. I think he ended up getting tackled by somebody. Jesus was pissed. I could make a bad joke there, but I'm going to leave that alone.
The only time I've done anything like that was I lived in an apartment once, and there was this rather questionable family that lived across from me. In fact, when they moved out,
they look like they didn't belong.
No, it's not that. It's just when they moved out there, I'll put it this way. There were police notices like summons on their door. So, but the point is they had these two kind of little hellion kids that just for giggles would sit there and ring my doorbell and run, which just got irritating.
Yeah.
So I would just sit there behind the door when I knew they were doing it.
And then shoot them?
Well, it's no, this was actually, I wasn't going to shoot them. I just figured I'd just put the fear of God into them. And so I waited for them. The split second they were reaching to ring the doorbell, I opened the door. And of course, just being 6 feet tall, and these are little kids, they went running, but I was able to easily chase them down. Didn't do anything to them, but trapped them up against the wall and just verbally tore into them. Never happened again.
Dan's triumph over the 60-year-old children.
Awesome.
Never again will these 7-year-olds bother me.
I had a 6-year-old approach me with a hatchet. That was bad.
What?
I was babysitting a couple summers ago.
What did you do to
get a straight job? Oh, I don't know. She just knew where her dad kept her hatchet, his hatchet. They always say that you underestimate them, that you should assume they know like where your gun is, where your weapons are. So she just goes out to the garage, comes back in the kitchen carrying this little axe, as if nothing is wrong. I told her she had to put it down right now and that we were never playing with that again. And then I put it somewhere high and I told the mister of the house that his little girl had his axe.
Good work.
Hold on, I think Melina's calling me.
John?
Oh, never mind, it's Matt.
Yes.
We need more from you than this. I want to hear about the beeping controls.
Yeah. Okay, you can hear about the beeping controls. Okay, so my roommate's a great guy, but he's a douchebag. He'd live with me, so you know he is.
That's like half the people on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. No, it's everyone on this podcast. So he's really big into RC planes and RC cars and RC everything, and they require batteries. So he charges the batteries overnight, except when the batteries are full, they start beeping, and they keep beeping until you unplug them because you're not supposed to leave it in. It kills a 0 hour or whatever.
0 point.
So, 0 point, yeah. That's very good, Adam. I'm impressed with your
Oh, good.
Beer.
You can drink, Adam. Way to go.
Yeah, I can outdrink all you.
Yeah, need. And somehow I get the reputation for being the drunk.
Yeah,
how
speaking of
work?
Which, so what's this whole thing about Dragon's Landing in challenging us?
Hold on. Oh, let John finish his story.
All right.
Some moderator. Jeez.
So anyway, a couple nights of this in a row go by, and I get irritated, and I bury one of his controllers.
Describe bury.
I took all the detritus we had in the apartment, which is substantial, and filled it in a box and put it at the bottom of the box, and I didn't tell him where his controller was for like 4 days. So that didn't happen again.
Oh, when you told the story, I thought you actually meant like you took a shovel and like buried it.
That would have been very
that been cool.
That was significantly funnier.
Back to weaponry, I remember back in, how come all my stories are really from college? I gotta have some newer stories, but I can't think of any right now. You guys ever penny people into doors where you, outside the room, you stuff pennies into the cracks so they can't open their door?
No. That sounds funny.
Yeah, it got banned at our school because some girl was trapped in a room because she was pennied in there and decided, you know what I'll do? Fine, I'll take this butcher knife I have and just knock them out. And she sliced her hand, very, very badly because she's an idiot. I think that should get you expelled from college right there. If you do
being
that,
an idiot.
If being an idiot got you expelled from college,
where would the communications department be?
Communications degrees really benefit society, Jen. I take great offense at your
they
comments.
Benefit Man. The basketball team. See, by existing.
This is the problem with having people like that in college. You should know by that age it takes a 12 gauge to the doorknob to get the door open. Please continue.
Didn't Mythbusters debunk that?
Probably. Mythbusters get some things wrong.
Pistol,
because it's funny, because I've watched the Army train, and that's what they actually teach their people to do, is to shoot doorknobs off.
Hey, on Call of Duty 4 it happened, so it's got to be real, right?
No, I watched truth. Actual Army training.
I've watched on Call of Duty 4 this week.
Oh,
they,
really?
Because stacked up at the door, and they had to bust open the door, and the guy came up with a shotgun, but I think he blew off the hinges.
Mythbusters is a great show, but they get
why didn't I
wrong.
Buy three things of Bud Light?
Why did I only buy one thing?
Go upstairs and check my
why
fridge.
Why did I only buy one thing of friends?
You have Bud Light?
I don't know.
I thought I drank all your
there
Bud Light.
There might be Bud Light.
All right, I'll be right back.
We did a lot of stuff.
Bring me an O'Fallon Gold either way.
Continue the podcast.
Yeah, bring me an O'Fallon Gold too.
Hey.
Me too.
I'm not your bitch.
Bring
please.
Three.
No, you're not drinking beer because your foot's all messed up.
I think I can handle one.
All right, go on. Somebody's starting a story.
There's lots of stuff we did to trap people in the room. Like, would you ever put saran wrap up around the outside of the door because there's that little indentation and fill the rest of it with popcorn so when they open the door inside, all the popcorn falls into their room? People hated that over that stuff.
That we'll have to edit.
That we'll have to edit. We're editing out my other comment from earlier, too.
No,
thank
we're
you.
Not.
Okay.
I am noting, though, where your profanity was.
We did that to people's doors. We mattressed people in. We'd find when we were up there for resident advisor week where we get trained, it'd be like us. It'd be the residential advisors, maybe 12 other people who were getting the IT training, what have you. So all the rooms were open. So we'd go and grab all the mattresses and stack them against the outer door so they'd open up to this wall of mattresses that wouldn't move because it was braced against the outer wall.
That's funny.
Yeah, we did a lot of trapping in people's rooms because we were bored.
I never had that happen to me. Of course, I only stayed... Well, I didn't stay in college dorms too much, but even when I did, I really never had anything like that happen to me.
Yeah, my friends were much more malicious and much less inventive. Like, we had a girl who would just take her high heel off and throw it up at the ceiling until it made a big gash by successfully puncturing it with the bottom of the heel. And that was like a $50 fine.
Did any of you guys had any really good senior pranks that your class did or classes before you or after you did?
Look,
we had a kid in the class 2 years my junior, my brother's class, who rappelled up a building in Clayton. You guys remember that story?
No.
It made national news. This kid got out mountain climbing equipment.
I do remember that.
He climbed up an office building in St. Louis County and got on like Larry King and
this
stuff.
Was this a senior prank?
Yes. The deal at the school was that we wouldn't do a senior prank, but in exchange for that, we'd get a senior skip day. Well, it came to be known that the administration was telling the staff, the teachers, ahead of time what day the senior skip day was going to be.
After we had supposedly negotiated
it all under the table. So the deal was off. And these two kids, just to embarrass everyone, I guess, that's what they succeeded in doing anyway. Rappelled up a building. The cops were waiting for him at the bottom, and when asked why they did it, one of them said, because there are no mountains around.
Okay, when you say rappel up a building, you mean rappel down a building?
Up and down.
Okay, so they climbed up the building and rappelled down.
The closest thing we had to a senior prank was our high school is a bit odd compared to most. We had several distinct buildings. It was like a small college campus, actually. And on the third floor of the main building, where most of the senior home rooms were. And there was a teacher who was really cool, very young, very hip, and everybody liked him, named Mr. Huff. So we thought we'd play a good prank on him because he'd get the least mad. So everybody hung out in his room in the morning before school started, and the windows, of course, didn't have any screens. You just open up, you let the breeze in, what have you. So we had, there was one guy who always sat like in a window, not like hanging out, just on the ledge, you know, safe as can be. Well, we made a show that there was like a little wrestling match over by the window. You know, as he kind of walked by, he's like, hey, guys, calm down. And then, like, we wait about 2 or 3 seconds. We run out, like, Mr. Huff, Shorty pushed George Quinn out the window. And we had George run down to the bottom, so he splayed out on the concrete as if he fell. And Mr. Huff comes up, like, no, somebody, you call 911, no, George. And everybody just starts laughing, and George gives him a wink. It's
my senior year, it wasn't anything that was planned, but every time that we won state in a sport, we would get a day off. It wouldn't be like the next day, but it would be
same
like the next week. They'd give us Monday or Friday off, whatever, to make it a 3-day week.
Right.
Well, one of the pep rallies, they got a senior, or where they got an alumni to come back from 2 years ago, and he's like, yeah, whatever, blah, 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 blah. This was like totally way, like three games before we could possibly go to state. And he's like, yeah, and administration says you could have off tomorrow. So the pep rally ends, and administration says nothing about this day off. So nobody shows up the next day. And then Monday, it was the pep rally was Thursday. We got off the Friday, and then Monday, they're like, oh, you guys took off this day, and you shouldn't have. This wasn't anything authorized by administration. We're never having an alumni back.
That's funny. My pep rallies, they would occasionally get a couple of the nerds that everyone knew were nerds to go up on stage and act like the captains of whatever sports team was competing.
That's hilarious.
Hey, come on, guys, we're going to kick their butt. So, of course, who's the captain of the soccer team but yours truly? That was fun.
In junior high, I had one of my most embarrassing moments. Junior high, I really didn't come out of my shell yet. I was still kind of a shy guy. I didn't really talk a whole lot. Had a few close friends.
I figured you for a birdo.
Boom.
Ba-dum-bum.
Anyway, so there I am. It's award ceremony at the end of the year, right? And if you're not in choir and you're not in band, like myself, who's in neither, you had to take home ec. And you
who's in
shop.
Choir?
Home ec?
Yeah, you had to take home ec.
And you public school people are messed up.
Home ec and shop, so it got balanced
girls.
Out. But me and one of my best friends...
They don't even fap in the middle of math class.
Well, yeah. Hold that story. We're going to get to that one.
Me and one of my best friends were in home ec together, and they gave awards based on grade point average, not just like you're good at home ec. And we were the honor student kids, so we, of course, got straight A's on everything. Like, oh, look, we made a good tiramisu. We're awesome. And then look at that. Look at how good we are. So there comes the award ceremony day, and all of a sudden you see the teacher go up. They're like, oh, hell, is there a home ec award? And my friend and I look at each other like, oh, hell, this isn't going to be good in front of the whole student body. It's like, and the homemakers of the year are Luke Meyer and Trent Summer. So we go down to accept our awards. Everybody's laughing at us. It's like straight A's, bitches, straight A's.
Yeah, I bet you didn't see that.
Eat my tiramisu. No, I was actually probably too shy. I was like, because back then I was a fat kid. I mean, I'm still fat now, but I wore sweatpants. I never wear jeans. I only wore sweatpants because it was the most comfortable. So I was a weird little kid. I got better, mainly.
We had a geometry teacher at narcolepsy.
That's awesome.
It was pretty funny. He'd just be sitting up there writing at the board, and he just fall asleep, just like in the middle of like writing in a proof or an equation or something. And everyone would just get up and leave the room. And at some point later, he'd wake up and just continue right where he left off.
We had an English teacher who mentally went back to Da Nang once every 2 or 3 years. That was always kind of scary. Every time a helicopter would go by the school, we'd be like, okay, is it going to happen now? But it
you
usually
co-ed
didn't.
Guys really missed out on some of the...
Oh, well, I got one, because senior prank. Let me
go
finish
ahead.
That
you go
one.
Go ahead and finish yours, and I'll unload.
All right. Where I went to school was in South St. Louis County. All right. Now, for those of you who don't know the St. Louis area, South County, it's basically a suburb of St. Louis, fairly middle-class, upper-middle-class area. But if you go a very, very short distance south, I mean, just a stone's throw south, you are right on the edge of farmland and boonies.
Jeffco.
Yeah, and Jeffco's gotten more
perhaps
populous.
Perhaps even Arnold Imperial.
Well, it's gotten more populous since then, but we're talking back in the early to mid-90s where it was just straight farms. One of the guys in our class went down to one of the farmers markets that was located out in one of these little farming communities, bought a pig, greased it, and set it loose in the hallways. And
That's awesome.
We got to sit there throughout class watching two of the principals literally running up and down the halls trying to catch a greased pig.
We had a goat that would show up for our football games every once in a while, but that's not as cool.
All right, so Adam, let's start. Which do you want to start with, the math class or the stage story?
I'll start with gym class. I went to an all-male Catholic high school, local.
Same.
I went to DeSmet.
I went to Chaminade. Chaminade is for better kids.
Yeah, but we have more fun at DeSmet. So, yeah. When you have 1,200...
Some kind of fun.
When you have 1,250 males in one building, things tend to get a little interesting. And one of the pastimes for the upperclassmen was you would haze the freshmen. And I'll start off in gym class. Gym class, when it's too cold to go outside and everybody's stuffed in the gym, everybody's wearing their little gym shorts, and so the seniors would just drop their pants and run full bore at the freshmen, because there is nothing more disconcerting than a half-naked man running at you. Theater class, I was in the choir for 3 out of 4 years, and then the advanced choir and all that jazz. We would sit in the auditorium of the theater, and the upper level, and the piano kind of pushed up against the little walkway that divided it. So the drama teacher's back was to the stage. Every once in a while, somebody would drop their pants and try and shuffle their way across the stage to see if they can get there without being noticed. One guy comes to mind. This same guy, math class, his game is that the math teacher would turn around right on the board. He would drop his pants and whip it out and start beating. What are you doing? What's going on?
Wow.
See, at Chaminade, we played magic cards and read D&D modules in geometry. Wow.
I'm sure he's close. I'm sure he was close, but he never quite finished.
We had some weird stuff happen in our high school. Like, I'm from a small town, and our football and basketball teams were very popular, the school didn't have a ton of money. Our bleachers for the football games they had a metal infrastructure, but all the steps and whatnot were wood, and the seats were metal. So this wood had been around for 15, 20 years. I mean, it was not in good shape. So there we are on track. I'm with the throwers. We're doing exercises on the stairs. We're running stairs up and down the bleachers. And then we switch from running stairs to hopping stairs. So we're hopping one legged up each step here. And you can feel these things just give underneath you. It's like somebody's going to fall through. Sure enough, behind me is one of my best friends, Noah Mead. There he is, hopping up the stairs while we're sitting here. Oh! And we turn around, and he's like, he's up to his chest in this hole, hanging down like 30 feet off the ground. It's like, save me! Somebody get me out of here!
Go ahead.
So we pull them up. Everything's okay. We switch exercises after that. So we're on the first walkway is elevated. It's about 6 feet off the ground, right? So we're there and we're doing high knees on the first step. So we're all doing high knees there. And there's this kid in our class who's just dumb as a rock. I mean, you can trick this guy with anything. He's just stupid. And he's next to me while we're doing high knees. So we're doing high knees. We're going. We stop. And it's like, woo, all right, good workout. Everybody looking around. It's like, hey, what happened to Corey? And I'm like, Corey, he was right next to me. He couldn't have gone anywhere. He pushed off the steps a little too hard into the handrail and backflipped over the 6 feet down. So you see him on the ground out there splayed out and moaning. It's like, you idiot, get back up. It's not like he fell through the stairs or anything.
My gosh.
Then we made him carry all the shot puts back because he was a freshman.
We had something like that where I was in the middle of high school. We were going somewhere and we had one car and more people than there were seats. And so we put a guy in the trunk. And, of course, being high school kids, the guy that was driving thought he'd be funny. So he'd go really fast over speed bumps. And he'd, like, floor it up to a red light and slam on the brakes. And you'd hear the guy in the trunk just blam up against the back seat. And this was funny. Until we got to the restaurant, popped open the trunk, and the dude's back there with blood all over his face, unconscious. And then all of a sudden, panic sets in.
I know that feeling. Did you guys ever play Gunslinger? In an all-male high school, private high school, you don't have the touching taboo that that public schools have now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we would hit each other and punch each other, all sorts of weird stuff. And you'd invent games of the same caliber. Like, a popular pastime after class, or after school was over, is you'd get three quarters, and you'd play quarters. You'd push two of them out, and you'd try and push the third one through.
We call that hockey.
And the third one through, and then you had to get into the goal.
Yep, goal.
Okay, right. Did you guys play with the real men rules?
Yeah,
the punishment
the bloody
for losing?
Knuckles, yeah.
When you lost, like when the guy got it into your goal, you'd put your hand down flat against, like you'd make a fist, put it flat on the table, and they would take one of the quarters and ram it into your hand as hard as you could. After one or two hits, your knuckles were just pouring blood. Okay? These are the kind of games that we played because it's an all-guys school. It's what you do. So we invented...
No, it's stupid.
You're right. It is stupid.
It's what the smart people do.
All right. Fine. Fair enough. So... there was a game called Gunslinger. Two guys stand there. One guy puts both of his palms together and puts them out. All right? He can only do one thing. He can move it up. He can move it down. The other guy puts both of his hands on his legs and stands out like they're guns, like he's a gunslinger. And the object is you have to slap the other guy's hands. Okay? And if you missed, then you were the guy who had to put your hands out, palm forward. So it would go back and forth, and I don't really know what the goal of the game was. It was just to pass the time. It
sounded like the goal was to touch each other.
Yeah.
Energetically.
Well, whatever homoerotic actions we did when we were that age. So me and my buddy were doing this game, and I guess I'm just not fast enough to catch him. So he was smacking me around, and my hands were getting all red, and I was getting all pissed off. So finally, he misses, and so it's my turn. I'm real pissed off. So it's like he's holding his hand out, and I just wail. It's like the slow motion where they got the. So I hit his hands. I don't know what the hell happened, but somehow he was pulling it up, and I hit his hands, and it went further up. It went up and smacked him in the face. He put his bloody nose, and he was crying. And I'm like, oh, hell. And so he runs out. He's pouring blood, and then the teacher walks. He's like, dude, what the hell just happened? I'm like, I don't know. I sat down. It's something about.
I think we've all been there. One time I was in a little friendly snowball fight with a buddy in high school, and couldn't see very well. It was nighttime. The shadows were shifting. So I was going to give him a fraternal punch on the shoulder. Socked him in the jaw. Mouth bleeding. We take him back to his house. His mom puts ice on it and stuff. I was like, wow, I didn't know I could totally deck somebody like that. That was actually pretty easy.
I saw a 17-year-old man cry more like a baby in PE once. Well, it wasn't PE. He was not part of a sports team, but he was in the shower. He must have been doing something with some makeup stuff, because we came back from football practice.
Whoa. There's a 17-year-old guy at school in the shower doing makeup?
No. Make like a makeup PE thing. I don't know. His last name was Pence. And he was...
his last name was Pence.
This just keeps getting weirder.
He was showering down there, and the football team comes down. So he must have been doing some kind of makeup PE. I'm not sure what.
Okay.
So we're all down there, and sure enough, some of the crazier guys on the team start making fun of him. It's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of guys, like the stupid people on our team, just start pissing on him. Back to the water sports. Just start pissing
back
on
to
him.
The water sports.
And he's like, no! And he starts crying. They're like, no! And they're just laughing. He goes running out. And from that day on, he was known as Pete on Pence. And he would cry every time he brought it up.
And he was in a shower. I mean,
why is that weird to you?
No. I mean, if someone's peeing on you in the shower, this is sick, but it's an easy problem to resolve. You're
That's
in a
not
shower.
An easy problem to
no,
resolve.
I mean,
it's not an easy problem to resolve when you think about it this way. You're naked in the shower and six dudes are standing around you peeing.
Okay,
on you.
Yeah, then you walk up, you kick them each in turn where it counts. And they will regret this far more than you will.
As we learn from Dark Tower 2, it's hard to fight naked.
Yeah. It is hard to fight naked.
All right.
So you know what's worse than being peed on? Being DLI.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Dragon's all right, Dragon's Landing in.
We're going to have to end this soon because all this talk of water sports and the two...
the two things about
lightning.
I'm sorry, Chuck and Lonnie. I just said it because it's in the notepad document.
But hold on here. Dragon's Landing in. What's the silliness about...
Well, it's not even DLI. It's Molaram from our forums. Uh-huh. Is on their forums, who probably one of their listeners who crossed over.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't have an episode this week. And Jim from Buffalo pointed out that Molaram was complaining about, oh, how come you just can't do this? Like, what are we going to do?
Where you are know, Fear the Boot had an episode this week.
We're good every week. Sometimes,
Deal,
too.
Look. But, guys, don't give Dragon's Landing in any crap. They're busy. They've got our mail to answer, our voicemail to do.
They got ironing.
Our blue jeans are soaked in piss.
All of our fully urinated clothing to clean out.
Well, Molaram.
Yeah, it's going to be that way if we don't end this bonus episode soon.
All right. Molaram's post is just giving us crap. It's like, well, where are we going to go listen? What are we going to do for RPG advice? We're going to go listen to Fear the Boot, those beer swilling, chicken winging pinheads.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I'm like, that's totally on.
Yeah.
Obviously just jesting with us, but from this. This is carried over to our forums, and I'm like, hey, you know what? Let's have a beer and wing off. Come on, Chuck and Lonnie.
Oh,
man up.
That's true. The two of them against any two hosts of our choice.
They're going to pick John.
I can't slam down twice as much beer as
our choice.
I wonder who we're going to pick.
Yeah. Between Chuck and Lonnie versus Adam and Luke, last man standing on beer and chicken
wings.
Why
you pick the fat guys?
Yeah, why are you picking the fat guys, Slim?
Because fat people like you can eat more chicken.
Yes, Fear the Boot loves making fun of fat people over and over again. So much that we get complaints about it.
If half the cast wasn't fat, I'd be offended.
Yeah, I might be offended too, but we're fat, so we can make fun of fat
You know what
people.
I really hate?
And I can tell Catholic jokes.
Fat planners. Fat planners.
All right, let's end this.
30-25 forever.
We will catch you guys.
We are approaching
on the
30-50 of this episode. It has to stop.
Yeah, this episode has just completely jumped the chart. So right. We will catch you guys for Jihad and Dark Age on the next one.
Bye.